Greetings from Stockwood Baptist Church. We have the distinction in Stockwood that we are the highest Baptist church in Bristol. Only because we're up the hill. So greetings from our lot to your lot. This morning we're going to look at maybe what is a familiar story to many of you. It's a story about two brothers, and then later on it's a story about two friends. Some found the Lord and some didn't. And this story starts off very well with Isaac and Rebekah. Those of you who know the story, it's all in Genesis, running from about 25 up right through Genesis, this wonderful story of this family. And she wanted a child, and she prayed to the Lord about it. And back in chapter 25, you'll find that she went to seek the Lord because there was a lot of movement going on in her womb, and she was quite concerned about this. And you ladies know what we're talking about. We men haven't got a clue. And she went to the Lord and said, "What's going on here?" And the Lord said to her, "You're having twins, and the eldest twin is going to serve the younger." Unheard of in that culture that day, but that was what was going to happen. And God told her what was going to happen here. In the birth, ladies, Esau comes out first, and he is hairy, and it tells us that Jacob is holding on to his heel. Painful? Not an easy birth, but she gave birth to these twins. And they were unidentical twins. We have unidentical twins in Stockwood. And you see, there's lessons here for all of us, because here we read that the parents, godly fearing people, if they, today would be a Christian couple, they got it wrong. Isaac, he loved Esau. Why? Because Esau was a big, strong fella, and everybody in the camp must have said to him, "You must be very pleased with him, Isaac. What a man. Goes out hunting, goes off for days on end, a man who knows how to look after himself. You must be very proud of him." When you read about Jacob, it says about Jacob that he dwelt among the tents. Well, you've got to look behind it, haven't you? And I think he was a bit of a lazy, because he was living off the fat of the land and living off the wealth of his parents. And his mother loved him more than she loved Esau. And Jacob loved Esau more than he loved Jacob. Parents, beware. It's a message for us. Don't differentiate with your children. It's disastrous. So the parents were at fault. And they were godly people. But Esau, you see, he was a bit thick. He'd gone out hunting one day, if you read the story back in the previous chapter. He'd gone out hunting, and he'd been out for maybe a few days, and he came home absolutely starving, and he says, "Quick, give me something to eat." And Jacob says to his brother, "All right, I'll give you some stew if you will give me your birthright." Now, in their days, the birthright was vital and important, because when Isaac would have died, what would have happened is the estate gets split, 2/3 to the eldest and 1/3 to the youngest. See where this is going? Jacob says, "You give me your birthright." And Esau, being a bit thick, says, "Oh, I don't want to worry about my birthright. You give me something to eat, I'll give it up." And And by oath, you see, that was binding in those days. And he gave up a third of his inheritance to his brother.
Wow.
But it goes on, this story, because Mum gets involved, because she remembered that God had said to her that the eldest is going to serve the youngest. And you see, she interfered and got in the way of God's plans. And we do it, don't we, at times? We interfere. We get in the way of God's plan. But God will have his way. Whatever we put in place, God will bypass it and bring about his will. And God did it here. He bypassed what she was up to and brought about the nation of Israel. She said to her son, I've heard the father say, go and to Esau, go and prepare me my favorite meal. And what she said, if you read the story, he is going to bless you in the presence of the Lord. You got that, parents? Isaac was going to bless Esau in the presence of the Lord when Esau brought in his favorite meal. Rebekah said, quick, I'll make a meal. You go and kill the goat. I'll make the meal. You go in. And Jacob said, I can't. He said, I'm all smooth-skinned and Esau's hairy. Don't you worry about it, she said. We'll sort it. She prepares the meal. She covers him in goat's hair. And he goes into his blind father and tricks him. But you see, the blessing that Isaac poured out on Jacob was a blessing from God, and it was a blessing that stuck because it was so very, very important. And the whole of the world has become affected by what happened here, because God, you see, was going to have his way despite the parents. And this one may touch many of your hearts. It touches mine. Because Isaac turns to Jacob and he says, how did you get this meal for me so quickly, my son? Genesis 27:20. Parents, you'll feel this. He gives them the answer, which must have shook the poor old man right down to his heart. The Lord your God granted me success. He didn't say to him, the Lord our God or the Lord my God. He said, the Lord your God granted me success. This man, Jacob, brought up, the word Jacob, mine means a deceiver and somebody that takes the place of somebody unfairly. He knew what was going on here. And poor old Isaac, this one really got to him. And I wonder how many of you parents here today, your children are not Christians. My son in Australia is on the edge, but he's not a believer. But you know, God has some strange ways about things. And I had an email just last night from my cousin who's out on a cruise, and she said that her son Paul and Samantha, who are Christian teachers in Perth, in Australia. My son Paul has just got a teaching appointment in Brisbane, where my son lives. And he wants to make contact with your Chris, because it's family. Could it be that Paul Cobb, who is a fine Christian and I've met him, is it him who's going to lead my son to the Lord? I pray that will happen, because this is what it's all about. Poor old Isaac, the Lord your God granted me success. And he pours a terrific blessing out upon Jacob. And that blessing stuck. And that blessing turned out to be the blessing that brought about the nation of Israel. Amazing. Because God is going to have his way. And in the story that Ruth read to us so lovely, Jacob, he's crafty, isn't he? He finds out that he's got to run away. Mum says, get out of here quickly, because he's going to kill you. So he leaves and he goes, and we know the story well, and he lays down and he sees this stairway that is set up on the earth. Notice, Bible study is important. The stairway is set up on the earth. It's not God out leaning out of heaven and saying, here's a rope ladder, catch hold of it if you can. If you can and climb up to me, you'll be saved. That's not what it's about. It's set up on the earth. And did you read what hear what Ruth said? I mean, it's Jacob again. He's being so crafty, isn't he? Because he is crafty. And although at that time God came and introduced himself to him, and he became a believer at that point, because he saw on the ladder, what was on the ladder? Angels ascending and descending. But what was also on the ladder? God was at the top. Wonderful. And then Jacob says to him, Jacob makes a vow. Here he is, this crafty deceiver. He says to God, well, if you'll be with me and watch over me where I go on this journey I'm taking, and you will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's house, so that Esau is not going to kill me when I go back. He's crafty, isn't he? He's covering his back. If you'll do all this for me, then you will be my God. And this stone that I set up here will be God's house, and all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. He covered his back. And God knows you and I so very, very well, and God will take you on your terms as well as his own. Absolutely wonderful. This place was called Bethel. And if you read the story later on in chapter 35, I think, Jacob comes home, gets welcomed by Esau, and he goes to Bethel, and God talks to him again at Bethel and says to him, I'm changing your name. You're not Jacob anymore. You're going to be Israel. Wonderful. If you know your Bibles at all, you'll find in 1 Kings that Solomon and Jeroboam and Rehoboam set up pagan altars in Bethel. They set up pagan altars in God's holy place, and God broke the kingdom. If you read the story, Bethel is very important. It's a holy place, and they made a mess of it. Don't we ever make a mess of it? Just wonder what's going on at the moment with our nation today. This nation that has been blessed by God far greater than any other nation upon the earth. We had the biggest empire ever seen on the earth. Why? Because God was our God. And at the moment we are turning our backs on him, and we need to get down and have some very urgent prayer about this nation that you and I love so very much. Wow. You find in Jacob's story that the 12 tribes of Israel came from him. Absolutely amazing. He paid dearly for what he'd done. God didn't take him on and give him everything. He worked for 14 years as a servant to win his wife. And God sometimes will put us through a test and a trial, but rejoice when he does, because he wants to make you and I better than what we are. You may say, well, why does God put me through a trial and a test? Because sometime you see in the future, you may be the only person that can help somebody else. It's the story that you may have heard before, of the church was having a moan about their minister. Did we ever do that? No. They were having a moan about the minister because a young lady, a young girl in the congregation, had lost a baby through a miscarriage. And they all gossiping, they were saying, he hasn't visited her now, and it's 3 days since she lost the child. What do you think of him? But you see, he had visited. He sent one of the ladies in the church, an older lady, who he knew had also miscarried at her age, and he sent her to minister. And that's what it's about. Men, not our area. But there are times when God will put you through something, and in the future, you will be the one person that can help that person who may be suffering from cancer or something. And you really, we do need to move into places like this today. To go in, and don't be afraid to go in and minister to somebody and lay hands on them in the name of Jesus for whatever. One of our dear friends in church is dying of cancer at the moment, and I go to visit Roy, and I go thinking, I will go and do him good. And I come out of his house thinking, well, he's done me more good than I've done him. He said to me last week, Ted, I've spoken to Dr. Jesus about my condition, and I said to him, well, if you want to heal me, that will be wonderful. But if you don't heal me, that's wonderful as well, because I know I'm coming to meet you. This is the man dying of cancer. And you think, wow. I go in to do him good and coming out and he's done me good. Absolutely wonderful. But the story you see in Genesis runs up into John's Gospel, if you know your Bible. In John chapter 1, we get that lovely story where Jesus finds Philip and says to Philip, come and follow me. And so Philip does. And then Philip says to his friend, we have found the one that Moses wrote about in the law. We have found the Messiah. We have found Jesus of Nazareth. Now, Nathanael was a good Jew, knew his country, knew his area, and he said to him, can any good come out of Nazareth? It's a bit like you and I, if we said, well, I live in Soho, you think, oh, yeah. But if I said to you, well, I'm at Stoke Bishop, it'd be a different ball game, wouldn't it? Nathanael was careful. He said, if any good come out of Nazareth? And Philip said to him, you come and see. And Philip brings his friend to Jesus. And in this story, Jesus sees him coming. And he says to the rest of them, behold, an Israeli in whom there is no deceit or nothing false, or if you're in the AV, there's no guile in this man who's coming this way. And Nathanael says, but how do you know me? And Jesus said to him, while you were under the fig tree, even before Philip called you, I saw you. And Nathanael's brain is now going at 100 miles an hour, and he's thinking, you can't have seen me from where you're standing here. You cannot see the fig tree that I was under. Fig tree to a Jew is a place where you meditate and pray. Shade is a thing for the Jews. They meditate and pray under fig trees. You cannot possibly have seen me. And Nathanael said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. In an instant, this doubting friend of Philip came and found Jesus. Oh, wonderful. And Jesus said to him, just because I told you I saw you under the fig tree, you believe? Let me tell you this, Nathanael. You shall see greater things than these. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending, got the story? Ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And suddenly Nathanael, this Jew, realized that this man, the Messiah, stood in front of him was the ladder that God set upon the earth. Here it was, the entrance to heaven. And for somebody this morning, this may be your opportunity to find Jesus Christ and to find the entrance into heaven. No man cometh to the Father, he said, except through me. And you're not going to heaven except through Jesus. Notice what Jesus said to his disciples in Luke 10 when they came back from doing all that ministry, the 72. He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. But let me tell you this, he said, those who reject you, that's the disciples, they reject me. And those who reject me reject him who sent me. You can't have God without Jesus. And for all of us this morning, as we consider what God has been saying to us, this is wonderful. God is at the top. Jesus has set up the ladder for you and I to find our Father in heaven. I was talking to a friend of ours who had just died in church, and John knew he was dying, and all that John wanted, he wanted to go and be with his wife Hilda, who had died 18 months previously, and this was his great desire. And he said to me in church, "Ted, I just want to go and be with Hilda." I said, "The good news is, John, very shortly you are going to meet her." He said, "Oh, good." I said, "The bad news is, John, is this." He said, "What's that?" I said, "I should be there with you." Praise the Lord. That's what it's going to be. We're going to meet each other in the glory of heaven.